Hey guys, this is Ishai Breslauer and welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. On Mondays, we dive deep into an asset class, and on Thursdays, we go into some inspirational stories for the weekend. Can't wait to start. Let's go. Hey guys, before we start, I just want to point out the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. It's a free download. Go to the text side and you will find it. It has absolutely great information, completely free, how to become a landlord, how to determine the value of a property, or creative financing for commercial real estate. All of it is completely free. Go download it. Also, I want to point out my CRE crash course. It's a 2-week must-have program with a must-have skills for commercial real estate, like investment strategies, the must-have financial terms, how a deal is done. Go take a look at it, go to the text side and click on the link. And now let's continue with our program. Hey guys, how are you? This is Ishai Breslauer, your host of the CRE Shark Eye Show. I hope you guys are doing fantastic. Today, we have Drew White with us, who's going to teach us all about what he does and how he helps people to acquire, to get their money work for them. So he's going to get your money work for you. And we're going to talk a lot about real estate, commercial real estate, and all the stuff that gets us really excited. Drew, thanks so much for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Yishai. I appreciate it. And I've been looking forward to chatting with you.
No problem. My pleasure. We have a lot to talk about. You know what? Before we even start, the best thing is to tell everybody, give us like a 2-minute elevator pitch of what do you do so they'll know how you can help them.
Yeah, thank you. So I work with specifically with real estate investors, and I teach them something that's called the infinite banking concept, or becoming your own banker. And what it really is we show them how to set up their own private banking system, or another word for it is their own warehouse of wealth that they can continue utilizing and drawing from to create more cash flowing assets, more wealth for themselves. And so that's really what I focus on and what I'm really big into.
Sounds exciting. And you just gave me like 2 hours of material to dive into. So it sounds exciting. You know, tell me something before we start talking about everybody else and what we can do for them and how we help them and et cetera. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How you got into this?
Yeah, it's kind of a long winding road, but I'll
make
keep it short.
Make it fun and juicy. Juicy is the thing.
Okay. Well, I don't even think I told you this before the show, but I was a pediatric nurse by trade, pediatric oncology nurse.
Wow.
And I did that for about 10 years. The start of my journey is that I graduated as a nurse with over $150,000 in student loan debt. But I was making at the start $35,000 a year. And so I was like, these numbers do not add up. And that was like, I didn't know anything about money. I didn't know anything about finances. And that really kickstarted my journey, because I was like, I mean, how is this going to work? How am I going to pay off all this debt? You know, and then I was working long hours, you know, you work holidays and weekends and stuff. And so I was always kind of a questioner, but it started me down a road of like questioning, why did I do this to myself? You know, what are other people who are smart with money doing? And that was a long winding road towards real estate. And then along my way towards real estate, I'd flipped some mobile homes for a while. And then I found this becoming your own banker concept that has, you know, really helped my family and me, and got pretty passionate about it like right away, and was like, now this is what I want to do. I got myself out of that debt, started, you know, just moving down that line, and was like, okay, now I want to show people how to do this and how to, you know, continue keeping their money in motion and keep their money working for them. And so how I got here.
I love that story. I'll tell you why, because also from my end, I started as a teacher. So, I understand what you're talking about when you wanted to switch careers and see where things are going on the way, you know, in the way to actually fix up your life in terms of the finance, the financial side. The one thing that really excites me in your life prior to you getting into what you are into now is that you're coming from the line of really helping people, and you're coming from the line of nurse, oncology, This is something really unique. I never had someone who has been involved in that type of thing on the show. Can you share that with us a little bit from, you know, experiences that you had from that profession? This is not what the show is about, but I'm sure but I'm sure people would love to hear from a person who really was on the front line of helping other people on the toughest things that they're going through.
Yeah, it's not an easy profession for sure. When a lot of people, not everybody, but they join it when they're single before they have a family, right? And then you have a family and you're like, oh man, seeing, especially in pediatrics, seeing the things that you see each day, and then you have children, and it becomes, you know, it becomes tougher. But I met a lot of amazing people, you know, just some patients that honestly changed my life. You know, you really form because I did oncology. I also did, something that's called liver, small bowel, pancreas transplants. And so those kids, you really develop a bond with those families and a long-term relationship. And so there's, you know, I could go on probably for a long time. Each kid, that I formed a bond with, I kind of like learned a different lesson and things. And there's one kid, you know, one lesson that I've carried with me, and he's this kid that I'll never forget. We just had an awesome bond. His mom actually paid for us to go to a football game together, and the hospital approved it and everything. It was cool. But I learned from him is that what I noticed is he would hang out with us at the nurse's station, and he would notice everyone and pay attention to everybody, whether they were the house cleaner, you know, whether they were the food staff. They all knew who he was, and he made them all feel special because he acknowledged all of them. And so that's something I just really like took away from him, was that, you know, everybody's got a part to play. Everybody's important. You don't ever got to think you're bigger than someone else and not acknowledge this person, not acknowledge the housekeeper, not acknowledge the food service person. And it's just something I always appreciated about him, and that I loved about him, is that everybody loved him because he noticed everyone and made them feel special. So I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but it was a long career. I liked it, but I knew it wasn't for me long-term either.
That's a great story. Tell me something. How many years you've done that?
10 years. And then I actually just let my license expire. And I did it because I was like, I told my wife, I don't want to have a backup plan. I love what I'm doing now. And I didn't want to have like, you know, well, this is my fallback, you know? Yeah. I wanted to burn the ships. Right. So 10 years.
That's beautiful, because you had that part of life in your life. And then you decided, listen, you said to myself, to yourself, listen, I don't want to continue doing that, even though that was meaningful and great. I want to do something different. What was the first thing that got you to notice you don't want to do that and you want to go into the business side of things? What was the first thing that got you, like the aha moment that gave you that?
Man, so for me, it's kind of like it was a process, maybe more than an aha, but it was really, when I met my wife was kind of the real trigger, because I realized, like I mentioned this a few times, it's a pain point for me. It's this thing of like, I love time with my family. I didn't want to be working weekends and holidays. And so working weekends and holidays was like a tough thing for me. I started to realize like,
right,
it took me a little bit, but I'm working for someone else, right? I'm always working hard for someone else, not myself. And I have a brother who's also incredibly entrepreneurial. He has a coffee shop that he, you know, basically he took over a coffee shop that was struggling, made it successful. He's now expanded throughout the city that we live in. It's called The Beanery. And so I think he was also kind of this example in the back of my mind, you know, and he used to kind of hate me because I would go golf like 4 days a week because I'd only work 3 days a week as a nurse. But seeing him as an example, because no one in my family before that was really like, you know, super entrepreneurial. My dad was a pastor, so he did start his own church and stuff. But so he was kind of the shining example for me of like, hey, there's a little bit different way to live and to work for yourself and be happy. And so that was kind of start. And then I was always reading real estate books and books about money. And that really like opened my eyes to like, oh man, I just realized like I had such a scarcity mindset about money and was thinking in terms of just, you know, penny pinching. So
what was your first real estate book that got you like the, you know, the thing to get in?
Yeah. Everybody says Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I didn't.
That was mine too.
I didn't read it first, but it was probably the most impactful. However, It was more podcasts for me. So podcasts, really, I heard guys talking about real estate, and that's what really like lit a fire under me.
That's awesome.
And I mean, the first book I read on real estate, I can't remember the name of it. I remember what it looked like. It was this white book with like a greenhouse on it. And it was something about single family homes, but I had, you know, I kept reading them. And then, you know, I did find my way to the Rich Dad Poor Dad one. Though I like Cash Flow Quadrant, I think the best. So it was more podcasts for me that got me kickstarted.
You know what? We're going to ask you a very interesting question that I'm always talking. I always talk about that. Because to me, the first book really that got me in was also Rich Dad Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. But I'm so far away from that now, meaning in my world, in my commercial real estate world, I'm reading completely other things about commercial real estate and mixed use development and complicated, complex types of, combinations and deals and how to solve problems on those levels, on the commercial level. What is the gap between you reading Rich Dad Poor Dad and those types of books and that green book with a single family homes to today? What is your today's reading and today's growth?
That's good. So back then I didn't have, but I didn't have a lot of self-awareness about what were my struggles, what are things I need to improve. And so for me now, like a lot of the books I read, you know, even now I'm reading one that was by me, it's called Limitless by Jim Quick. And it's about, you know, I mean, it's just about your mindset and about, you know, things that you've carried from your past and how to change those limiting beliefs. So, you know, back then I don't know if I fully answered your question here, but I think I was, you know, reading, I still am reading to learn what other people are doing differently than me. That's for sure. But now I'm also doing probably more work on myself, where I used to have this mindset maybe where my problems were created by somebody else instead of me. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but, so I do a lot of reading on myself, but then I'm always trying to read about, I still like reading about real estate and the different things people are doing. And I like reading, you know, and I read more fiction now too. So I don't know if I answered your question very well.
No, that's cool. Everybody, you know what? The one thing I love and that's what I love about the podcast that I've created, that's the side, I tell everybody that's COVID side effect. The podcast, that's what, you know, brought the podcast. Because like pre-COVID, I was running two companies. I would never be able to think that I'd ever do that. But I enjoy it so much because I hear different perspective, different type of people, different types of, you know, approaches to life and to business and to anything. And that teaches you so much. So thank you for that. What I ask you, when you start actually getting into investments, can you tell us a little bit about this, you know, path of dealing with investments in real estate and what types of investments, what was the first one, second one, et cetera, and how you got into it, how you rolled into it?
Yeah. So I started out, I became real interested in the markets and actually day trading. And I did some day trading, and I'd have moments where I'd do really well, moments where I'd do really bad. It was always when I decided, you know, I'm
roller coaster.
Yeah. I would be like, I'm so good at this. I can take a 3-month break from nursing and I can do this. And then when I didn't have nursing to fall back on in terms of investing, I would do terrible because it would be like, I'd be so in my head. So that actually is what started me down the path of learning more about myself and why I couldn't handle the pressure. But, so then when I was, while I was doing the day trading thing, I was still reading about real estate and I realized like, okay, I don't want nursing to be my long-term thing. I can't really day trade if I don't have anything else. And I was like, I need passive income. I need to look at real estate and start doing that. And so at the time, I still had what I willingly admit to people, I had a scarcity mindset. So I randomly came across mobile home flipping and I heard it on a podcast and I saw this article about it and I was like, nobody makes money at mobile homes. That's impossible. That's stupid. You know? And so I didn't want to go to banks, get loans. Cause I worked so hard to get us out of debt. I didn't understand leverage or anything yet. And so, or, you know, and using the bank's money. And so I was like, okay, this is a low cost of entry. I'm just going to get my feet wet and get started. I ended up doing it for 2 years, but my first one,
how'd you get into mobile homes? Like, okay, listen, hearing about this in a podcast is one thing. And then finding the deal is a different thing. Why, you joined someone, you invested with someone, you found the deal. Tell us a little bit about it. That's very exciting.
Yeah. So I found the guy that I heard on the podcast, his name was John Fedro. And I looked him up. He had a whole coaching program, and it was pretty affordable. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, oh, that's worth a shot. Let's just see what happens. And so I did his program, and his program, I mean, I'm not here to pump it, but it's really good because it does take you and makes you take action. And within a month I had my first deal. And so, it wasn't, now that I know more, I never would have probably done that deal. It wasn't great, but, I did like after that deal, I did, I do every week, I do something called a after action review. And so I review my week. And so I took that same process and did that with that home. And I realized, oh, here's some things I would not have done and I would not have bought this home. But, John was my mentor for about 2 years. If I still wanted to do mobile homes and call him up, he's an amazing guy. He'd take my call. But yeah, I hired a coach because I knew like I needed someone to like kind of light a fire under me and get me kickstarted going. Cause I was like, I don't quite know how to do this yet.
And tell me something. And the capital was there with you. You had to raise it. You had to, tell us a little bit about that.
I had saved it on the side, but you know, I mean, for mobile homes, you could get started with, I mean, anywhere from 5 to 10,000. It's not much, you know? Yeah. So like the first home I got, it was $500. And so, it was a $500 home. I had it cleaned out, and then, I ended up flipping it for $6,500, and I think I put $2,200 into it total. And honestly, that's not like amazing. And for all the amount of work I had to do,
it's a great start.
Not worth it, but you can with mobile homes, you can make mistakes and you can recover from them pretty well. And so that one I definitely wouldn't have done again. But I was so eager to get that first deal, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. It's like you just want to do it. You're like, I just want to get in. I want to start doing real estate. I want to be an investor, you know. And so I jumped in a little too quick, but I learned a ton. And that one actually, I probably made the most money from that deal because I learned the most from that deal, even though that wasn't like my most profitable deal. I just learned so many lessons that I never repeated.
Okay. You did that mobile home. It was exciting. It was great. What was the next thing?
Yeah. That's when around the 2 year mark, I came across the becoming your own banker thing and really like dove in on that. And then I still have mobile, like, so when I say flip mobile homes, I provide financing. So I still have notes coming in from that. But one of the things I realized during it, there was a few things. So as I learned about becoming your own banker, I learned kind of more about inflation and things I didn't understand. And so when I realized on these mobile home notes, it was like, you know, okay, I have a person paying me $300 a month for 5 years, but that's not that $300 a month in year one that I'm getting is not the same $300 in year five I'm getting due to inflation and the dollar being devalued. And so I started realizing, okay, and all the amount of work that I had to do to get these deals coming in, it was like, this isn't still passive. And so I'd say I'm still on my real estate journey. You know, I have investors I work with who have passive deals that I could invest in. But right now I'm actually, so for me, my next phase of that journey is to start investing in apartments on my own. And so, and I have a couple of guys that we might do some together, but initially here, I want to just, you know, get one on my own, like I did with the mobile homes and get into it, get my feet wet and everything. So that's the progression I would say of my journey. And then also just, helping real estate investors with kind of warehousing their wealth and growing their wealth in a tax-free vehicle and all that. So
beautiful. So the next phase is multifamily, as like we say, like everyone.
Yeah. And,
but it's not a bad thing to do. It's actually a great thing to do because it's the, you know, I have a lot of people I'm friendly with and they are pretty savvy in multifamily, and some of them in medium level, small level, some of them in a very massive level. Mm-hmm. They're very big. And they all say it's one of the best, probably the best asset class that you could think of, because everyone needs a roof over their head. And that will never stop. It's just a matter of knowing how to check the markets, the deals, the locations, et cetera. Before we dive into how you help people, which is what I'm, you know, that's what I want to get into. Can you tell us a little bit about markets, about you, choosing markets, where you're located, and what's your strategy, and what you're looking at, what you've learned.
Yeah. So I, you know, I'm a big fan of practicing what I preach. So I put pretty much most of the money that I'm going to invest and maybe set aside for taxes into this, what we can get into later, but this becoming your own banker system, where because I'm a big fan of having control. And that's what I also like about real estate. I feel like there's a level of control to it versus the markets. You know, I can't tell you, you know, maybe Yisha, you can, but I can't tell you where the market's going to be in a year, you know?
No.
But I most can. Real estate investments, you know, you can predict pretty accurately where that might be in a year. You know, we couldn't predict COVID and all of that.
No.
So I'm big into having personal control, over my money. The other thing I'm also, a big fan of is Bitcoin. So I do hold some Bitcoin as well.
We'll talk about that too.
Yeah. And sometimes I tell people I'm a little bit of a unicorn, because I feel like sometimes real estate people and Bitcoin people think they're at odds, but I think both work well. So my wife and I took our money out of our qualified plans, put it into the becoming your own banker system, where we can control it and grow our wealth now instead of wait later. I came from being a day trader and doing that stuff. I really no longer do it, because I felt like I wanted to do something I can control and create wealth now instead of wait till I'm 75.
Awesome. So tell me something, this creating your banking system, your own banking system, what is it exactly? What are you guys looking to do?
Yeah. So we, you know, we sit down with people, talk about what their goals are, what they're investing in, you know, what their strategies are, et cetera, and what their long-term plans are. And then we help them set up their own system. The vehicle is unique and, you know, different. It's whole life insurance, actually. And so we set up the policy for them, and inside that policy, it can grow, you know, tax-free, guaranteed with uninterrupted compounding. And then you can leverage that policy to go out and continue, you know, growing your wealth outside the policy and outside of your banking system. And so you can continue, you know, buying more real estate or buying businesses and et cetera. What it's based on is this idea that, you know, money should be in motion, you know, because we talked about a little bit ago, inflation, right? And so if you're savers right. are losers. So if your money's sitting in a saving account, it's losing money. And so really the wealthiest people and the people that I know that are the smartest with money, they keep their money in motion, and they don't let it just sit and stagnate.
Beautiful. You know what? What I want to ask you is, I want to put like a challenge right now. Let's say hypothetically, you're sitting with a person, mm-hmm. And you're consulting to that person. Why am I doing this, by the way? Just parentheses for everybody who's listening. I want to give you guys who are listening to Drew right now, I want to give you like a sort of a live example, because you just said, okay, we're helping people do this, insurance, mm-hmm. and banking system, and how to actually fix your finances and all that stuff. And it sounds really good, but I'm sure that a lot of people who are listening are right now asking, what exactly? How? What is being done? So what I'm asking you now is, let's take a hypothetical situation of a person who has certain type of situation with their finances. How would you help them? If you could like give a few examples from what you guys are doing daily, you know, you're consulting people, what are you going to tell them to do?
Yeah. So kind of like what I said there a little bit ago, it was like, we'd sit down and just talk and see, and, you know, like, I tell people from the start, I'm not for everybody, and what we do is not for everyone. And so I sit down, you know, to learn more about them, but also and for them to learn about me, but also for me to determine, like, are we a good fit? Because I may not be a good fit for everybody. And so it's kind of like we're both interviewing each other, but we sit down and just talk. And then really my process is to educate people on this system. And I educate people to the point where they say, well, yeah, I want to learn more about this. How do I do this? Or they say, hey, you're a dummy, get lost, you know? And so then from there, so I really start with an education approach first. I teach them about the infinite banking concept. I teach them how banks work, how banks make money, and the idea of keeping their money in motion, because banks do this too. They do bank owned life insurance and they max it out. So we talk about that, how banks are doing this with their money and how we're trying to copy them. And we really take just a really like strong, heavy educational approach first. And then if you say, yeah, you know, I want to move forward. Well, then we start breaking down numbers for you, and it's really individualized. So I can, like, people will ask me, how much can you do? You know, whatever. And it's totally, I never tell someone like, this is, you need to put this much in and do this. I really base it on their situation. And so then they give me numbers, we talk and we go back and forth and we make a plan together. I don't just, you know, say, this is what you do and you got to stick to my system. And then there's other nuances, you know, like it has to be with a mutual insurance company, that a dividend whole life paying insurance company. Otherwise you're not going to get the benefits of taking the loans and the tax-free guaranteed growth. And so that's, and then from there for us, I tell people when they start their system, when they start their banking system, that's really when my relationship with them begins. And we're building like a community of people who, you know, we're going to start meeting together weekly and things, or monthly, and just provide education for these people, provide opportunities like, hey, you know, we have this guy doing this, if someone wants to invest in this or learn from him. And so from there, you know, we really work with them and probably more with them after the fact, and showing them how to use it, showing how to set up maybe in a tax advantage way and things like that. So does that kind of answer what you're looking for?
That's beautiful. That's excellent. You know what? When a person sits with you guys and you're trying to relate to them, like you said, and you're trying to learn their situation, you're trying to understand exactly what type of assistance they need, et cetera. When it gets to the point where you're setting up the banking system, you're telling them, okay, you become a bank because you're going to put this, and you understand all those, you know, savings accounts that are all around, and how to manipulate what you call the money and to put it in the right, to channel it to the right location, to the right place. Would you be able, like, to say clearly, for example, what type of investment each and every person would need? Like, for example, this guy's real estate, this guy shouldn't do real estate, and why and what? Did that happen to you? Like, that you saw one person needs completely different thing than the other?
Gotcha. So do you mean, and you mean like, someone sits down with me and, at the end I'm like, oh, they shouldn't be in real estate, like type of a scenario. Is that what you mean? Or like they should be investing
Type of real estate see that. Yeah. And stuff like, do you have an example of that kind of a thing?
No. So typically, you know, I don't give like, I won't say you should be investing this or give advice, you know, because it's insurance, I have to be careful not to like, you know, be saying,
right, invest in 100%.
I can tell people, you know, hey, this is what I do, or, and I can point out strengths of theirs, or I can connect them with people that I know that, you know, are doing things they're looking at. But a lot of times I'm working with, seasoned investors who really know what their strong suit already is. And they know like, oh, I'm a, you know, like one guy I work with, you know, he loves flipping homes, and that's what he's great at. He's great at flipping them. And so, so I will never tell him you should be doing multifamily, you know, cause he's great at it. It's his niche, he knows. And so, so I guess the answer probably is no. When I say, you know, I definitely point them in the direction, sometimes say, hey, this is, you know, what I'm doing, or this is what someone else is doing. If they still need some coaching on maybe direction, they still don't know. But a lot of times I'm working with people who are already very confident in where they're headed and what they're doing with their money.
Beautiful. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Can you give me a problem that you see that repeats itself with people that actually are doing well with their money? They're investing. Mm-hmm. One is doing, like you said, flipping homes. Another one is putting his money with multifamily. He's making money from multifamily. One guy is a day trader. One guy does this, that, Bitcoin, whatever. Mm-hmm. Can you see a problem where they need the banking system and you're solving it for them? What is that problem that you find, that you trace?
Yeah, I think there's a couple, but the main one I would go back to is that idea of that they may be doing really well, and most of them are. And so sometimes it's kind of like, well, why would I need to talk with you? But there's still money they're not keeping in motion. In fact, like, there's a guy we work with who, I mean, he's killing it by all accounts. I mean, he's amazing, buying apartments left and right. And even he had room to grow because the money that he's setting aside for taxes and insurance is wasting away. It's doing nothing, right? And
that's amazing.
So he was like, wait a second, this money's losing value. Okay, let me put it into this banking system. And now he lends it out to flippers at 18%. So he takes it. So even that money, he doesn't want it losing value. So I think And one thing in particular, if someone thinks they've made it, I probably don't want to work with them, because I always want to work with people who are like, hey, how can I grow? How can I get better? Because, you know, Michael Jordan, right? He always wanted to get better. He was relentless. And so for me, the one thing I see is sometimes maybe a rival syndrome. They think, I'm great. I don't need something else to make me better. And then the other thing I see is, yeah, that they still have money that they don't realize that is stagnant and not in motion. And so that's probably the big mistake I often see.
You know what, Drew? You just revealed that you are unique. And I'll explain why. A lot of people are talking about, I'll help you or I'll teach you how to get your money to work for you. By the way, Seinfeld now is on Netflix, and I saw the episode where Seinfeld says, I'm not an investor. I can't be an investor. I can't be an investor. You know that joke? And he said, I don't want, meaning people say, get the money, work for you. And he says, I'll work. I'll get the money to rest. You know, relax, because the money could get fired and all that stuff. And obviously it's very funny, but not true. So a lot of people are talking about to get your money work for you. A lot of people are teaching about multifamily, are teaching about real estate. I have my own courses about making a career in commercial real estate or an investment career in commercial real estate. A lot of people teach about that stuff, but not a lot of people. Actually, you're the first one, I think, that teach, except of those systems, you go to the banking system, like you're going to a bank or you go to an insurance company and all those places where many consultants are not aware or are not familiar or are not involved in the entrepreneurial or investment world themselves. They get this schooling system and they teach it to the people. So you are very unique because you are telling people, you know what? I'm not going to teach you how to do multifamily. I'm not going to teach you how to do this. I'm not going to teach you how to do that. You go teach yourself, or you, if you already know, that's great, but I'm going to find the holes. I'm going to find where you have money that is not working, and we will find it. And I'm going to help you with figuring out what you should do with that. And I think this is an incredible trait. I think this is incredible. So this is really unique. For sure.
I really appreciate that. Yeah.
For sure. You're the first one. You just gave me a aha moment. Oh my gosh, this guy does something that nobody does. And it's great. So it's great. Tell me something. This is you and your wife doing it together?
No, just me. Actually, my wife is a designer. And so it's just me. Yeah. She designed this picture behind me. But yeah, she's also very entrepreneurial. She had a business that COVID kind of took away from her, but that she worked years on. She had investors and everything. We both do the infinite banking stuff. I'm the only one that teaches it. We're both very entrepreneurial, just kind of have the bug together. So we're always doing something, but usually it's not combined.
Tell me something. This is great. I want to go a little bit, even though this is just a commercial real estate show, and but sometimes we focus on inspirational stuff. Sometimes we focus on different type of things. I want to ask you, you mentioned you were investing in Bitcoin. This is something, by the way, blockchain is something I know what it is, because also from my prop tech side, property technology side, there are a few companies that are involved in the blockchain technology as per liquidating real estate. I'm not going to get into it right now, and all kind of things like that. But I'm not in the crypto scene, which is the side where we got familiar with blockchain. And that is, and you're actually involved in Bitcoin. Tell us a little bit about that, because Bitcoin is crazy. It's crazy going there. And that's then crazy. it's crazy going bam, down there. Tell us a little about this lunacy.
That's a fair way to call it. So for me, you know, I like to tell people the story is that I actually was like a hater of Bitcoin. I hated on it. And I was like, this is so dumb. I even just made a post on LinkedIn about the other day. I told the story about how I used to tell people they were idiots for putting their money in Bitcoin. And then I had a friend who I really respect. He one day gifted me this book, and it's called The Bitcoin Standard. And it looks like the most boring book in the world. And I remember when he handed it to me, because I was like, oh, I have to read this. Like, you know, your friend gives you a book, you have to read it, right? And I was like, oh my God. Turns out to be one of the most transformational books I've ever read, honestly. And I was reading that, you know, and then shortly after I read Becoming Your Own Banker, and the story I tell on LinkedIn, I would never have been open to learning about Becoming Your Own Banker if I hadn't learned about Bitcoin, because I started to open my eyes about how money works, how the government works with money, how they print money, you know, fiat money. And then, you know, so it really kind of opened my eyes to like alternative things out there, and like started to kind of question all the things I was told about money growing up. And so for me, I mean, I'm not like going to be your probably your best, like, you know, here's why Bitcoin works person, but what I, my understandings of it and why I'm big into it, I really like that it's decentralized. A lot of people throw out this thing that it's criminals use it heavily, which is, I would say, a very false narrative. Because there's basically a ledger that anybody can access. So if a criminal is, you know, buying drugs with Bitcoin, they have to be the dumbest criminal in the world. They're better off using the dollar. you know, so, but so for me, it's, you know, and it's I see it, that it has a huge store of value. Like, you know, right now I've mentioned a few times that savers are losers. Well, I mean, savers are losers with dollars. I think if you're saving in Bitcoin, I do think long-term you're winning, but that's a speculation. That's a guess. I could be wrong, and I'm willing to be wrong. And I'm not going to bet my whole family finances on it, but I do think it's a good place for to store value and to store some wealth, I would say, to hedge. And it's a good hedge against inflation. I could go on and on about all things, but it's another great hedge against inflation, in my opinion.
All right. I mean, we heard obviously so many aspects about Bitcoin, and you know, it's just this is something I'm totally not involved in. And as I say to everybody, if you want to get involved with something, get educated in it, meaning you can't just go invest in something without knowing anything in it. And obviously you did that.
And I was completely ignorant about it, and that's kind of a mistake I made, that I realized I am, at least financially, never gonna go out there and have such bold opinions on something that I literally knew nothing about, and that I'd only knew about from pretty much news. And I realized that was a big mistake in my journey, that I'm like, I'm not going to repeat that again, because I would have been in on it earlier.
Drew, I'll tell you, this is a great interview. I love it. And you're doing such a unique thing. If you could tell everybody, because you're in Nebraska, I saw, right? You're in Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah. How can people find you? Obviously, some clients, I guess, are close to you where you are, and some people are very far from where you are. I guess you also consult people through, you know, via Zoom and all that stuff.
So the main way would be through my website. It's www.ibcdrew.com. So the letters IBC, which stands for Infinite Banking Concept, ibcdrew.com. Also LinkedIn. It's same thing, LinkedIn and /IBC Drew, but my website, they can find more info. They can connect with me on there and schedule a call if they want as well.
Perfect. You guys can see the links above, below, wherever, and there you can contact Drew. Drew, thanks so much for being on the show. We definitely learned a lot of stuff, and it was really exciting. All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Isha. I appreciate
it. My pleasure. And take care. And you guys, I'll see you in the next show. Hey guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.